Mr. Nolly, reel one. Where were you born, please?
In Bristol.
Which year?
1927.
What did your father do for a living?
He was the chief examiner on the GWR railway.
Did you go to school in Bristol?
Yes.
Whereabouts?
Just locally, actually. Stakelill Primary School initially, and then Mangotsfield Senior School, which is a 5 minutes walk from here at the moment.
How old were you when you left school?
13.
So war had already started by the time you left school?
That's right. I left in the August. My birthday was in, July actually I left, but my birthday is 5th of September, so before I was 14. So.
How did you feel when you heard that we were at war with Germany?
Quite excited, I think most children were at the time.
So you didn't feel any sense of dismay or fear?
No, I don't think so, no.
Did you get a job?
Yes, I started work at Robinson's cardboard box factory. My father was keen on getting me into the printing line. I was dead keen to join the railway, same as my father, which I managed when I was 15.
Do you remember much about the bombing of the Bristol area in the war?
Oh yes, quite a bit. The big blitz, I was on duty in the signal box at Stapenham Road Station.
Can you describe what you remember of it?
Only the flares and actually the bombing. None near us, as it turned out, but you could see the explosions in the...
Where did most of the bombs fall?
I think that was from the Castle Street in Bedminster area at the time.
Did many bombs fall near your own home?
We had, I lived at Stapley Hill, which is on the outskirts of Bristol, and we had one lone bomber drop a string of bombs which straddled the houses. The nearest was about 100 yards away from our actual house. We suffered no damage.
Did you go into the centre to see the damage caused?
Oh, yeah. Well, yes. I did see Castle Street after the bomb.
Were there any buildings surviving there?
Not many, no. It used to be the main shopping area, and that was completely gutted.
How did public morale stand up to the Blitz in Bristol?
Well, as a young lad, everybody seemed quite happy with it. You know, they didn't seem at all perturbed.
Did it cause any hatred of the German air crews?
Oh, I believe so, yes. Yes, I believe so.
Where did you shelter yourself?
Well, it's a funny thing. The actual, I was serving in the signal box, and they provided a shelter inside the signal box, which consisted of a large metal dome, and just enough room for the signalman and myself, who is a booking boy or telegraphist. We sheltered in there if it got anywhere near.
Actually in the signal box?
That's right, yeah, actually in the signal box.
How big is it?
It was about 4 foot diameter, and just a metal case with a door on. Just room for two of you to just take shelter in there.
A bit like a Morrison shelter?
Yes, I should imagine so, yeah.
Do you think it would have provided much protection?
Not really, not if there was stopped the protection from flying glass. You know, the signal box was obviously completely glass all the way round for observation, and sheltering you from that. But anything like a direct hit or anywhere quite near, there'd be no protection.
Which signal box was this?
Stapleton Road Station.
Staple Hill Road?
Stapleton Road. Stapleton Road.
Did you join the Home Guard?
For a short while, yes. But the trouble was with the shifts on the railway, it clashed with it. And initially, I was in the Army Cadets, and then a short spell in joining the Home Guard.
Which Home Guard unit were you in?
In the 16th Italian Signals.
16th?
Yeah.
What did you do with them?
Well, like I say, I was only in it for 2 or 3 months, so, not a lot really. You know, it just more or less got established.
Did the railways continue to function during the war?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Was there much disruption of them in this area?
Not as I noticed. Not working in the signal box. Obviously, it was disrupted around by Temple Meads Station at times, but we didn't notice anything, not Stapleton Road.
But did you get lots of delays and cancellations of trains?
Yes, you used to get them, what they called government specials, which was obviously ammunition trains in, army supplies, which you had to give priority to over civilian traffic.
But did that disrupt the timetable much?
No, not really. You just had to keep the line open for that one. The branch passenger trains obviously might be delayed for 5 minutes from their schedule while the main train went through.
Did you get many cancellations of services in the war where a train which was scheduled to run was knocked off the timetable?
Oh, yes. We had those, yes. Not all that many, as I can recall.
I'm thinking about the situation today on the railways where people seem to complain a lot and how it compared with the war situation.
Oh, I think the railways were running much more efficiently then. They were privately owned. The GWR was privately owned, and they were in competition with the LMS and the Southern Railway. And I think they seemed to work quite well. Of course, you had more staff working then for them.
Were they particularly heavily used with troops moving about and
so
on?
Oh, yes.
What job were you doing by the time the war ended?
I was a checker at Ashton Gate, which was checking wagons in and out of different premises. Dispatching the empty ones back and invoicing the new ones coming in.
How did you come to be in the Army?
Well, I was always wanted to get in the Army, but I was on reserve occupation, and the only way I got in the end was signing on as a regular, and that's how I managed to get in.
When was that?
That was 1946.
Was it easy to get in?
Oh, yes, yeah. You obviously have to pass medical. And a written exam, but other than that...
Where did you do your training?
Northern Ireland. Hollywood Barracks, which is just outside Belfast. 28th Training Battalion.
How were you treated in the training?
Well, it's very strict, obviously, when I remember you doubled everywhere, the first 3 months, everywhere in the county of Dublin except for Mills. You march to Mills, but it's a squad. But other than that, everything you've done, you doubled to and from to different locations, and that was all part of the training. Certainly got you fit.
And did you go straight into the Gloucesters?
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I joined the Gloucesters from there. Come back to England, was a holding battalion at Bulford, and then for about 3 months, and then posted to the West Indies, joined the, which was the second battalion there, Gloucesters, in Jamaica, and later they were amalgamated with the first battalion, which come back from India, and we were known as the first battalion then.
Was that when you went to the Honduras?
That's right, yes. I know we were in an Appy one evening, usual, and a few drinks, and word come in, we had a few hours to get our kit packed. We rushed down to the dockside and onto the battleship Devonshire and rushed across to Bridge Honduras. Apparently Guatemala, the neighbouring state who always had claim to it, were threatening to invade. And we were sent there to disillusion them.
When was it that you were sent, do you think?
What, the date?
Or the month and the year?
Let me think, 1947, I believe.
What did you find when you got there?
Well, we were expecting to storm ashore. We were, the rumours on the boat going across were that the Marines had landed off the Sheffield, which was another cruiser, and had been wiped out on the beach, and we were going in the next morning. As it turned out, shallow waters there, and the Devonshire had to lay off, and we come ashore on flat barges, and all the population of Belize town were down by the quayside waving Union Jacks, welcoming us ashore.
So it was a totally false rumour?
That's right, yes. Mm. Typical army rumours.
Well, what rank did you have then?
I was a corporal then, weapon training instructor.
And which company were you in?
Let me think, D Company at the time when we landed there.
Did you go on patrols as soon as you arrived?
No, we went to an old disused Salvation Army camp, which was about 8 miles outside Belize town itself. They sent one platoon up to a place called El Cayo, which is on the Guatemalan border, and the rest stayed in the camp, the main camp, guarding the airfield. You know, we were dug in around the airfield there. They were expecting to land paratroopers and gliders, which never materialised. We were dug in for a while along each side of the airstrip.
What were physical conditions like for you in British Honduras?
Well, initially they were a bit rough, I should say. We were dug in alongside the airstrip. It was hot. We had sandflies and mosquitoes, obviously, at night time. We stood to it dawn and dusk. This only lasted for a couple of weeks at the most, and then it tension eased off a bit, and we stood down and moved into barracks.
What kind of food did you have?
Oh, army rations initially, the army field rations, and then when we moved into the barracks, obviously we got the cookhouse going and normal army food.
Did people fall sick there?
No, can't remember, not any serious illnesses. You obviously had take protection against mosquitoes, you know, and that sort of thing, but I can't remember anyone there getting malaria.
To what extent did you personally think the Guatemalans would invade?
Well, it seemed very real at the time, initially, but after the initial couple of weeks, you know, it was obvious, you know, it wasn't imminent.
Did you personally go up to the border for patrol?
Yes, I had. I was in the second platoon to go up there. I think we relieved each other about every fortnight or 3 weeks. A 3 weeks spell up there.
What was the terrain like there?
Oh, a jungle, and El Cairo itself was a small Mexican type village with dirt roads and wooden sidewalks and back wing doors on the saloon, and like the old Western, actually.
Was it very dense jungle?
Well, it was surrounding, yes, yeah.
What was the animal and insect life like in the jungle?
Oh, you had the snakes and guanos and. Oh, they said there were wild cats in that, but I never actually seen any.
Was there much discomfort on the patrols?
Not really, no. I think army personnel are used to a bit of discomfort.
Was it wet or dry?
Oh, it was humid, very humid. Drier heat than Jamaica, but it's certainly humid up in the forest.
Did you ever see any Guatemalans?
No.
Neither soldiers nor civilians?
No.
Was all the population, you said the population turned out with Union Jacks.
That's right.
Were they all friendly or were any unfriendly?
Very pro-British.
How did the soldiers get on with the local
people? Very well, because after a few months, when obviously the trouble had died down, the battalion moved back to Jamaica, just leaving one company in Honduras. Initially, I went back to Jamaica with the battalion, with D Company. A Company stayed in Honduras. But after a few more months, I was transferred back to Honduras, to A Company. And I stayed there until the battalion came back from the West Indies.
Were there any marriages with local women?
Quite a few, yeah. Mm. Yes.
So, when you left Belize, or British Honduras, were you sorry or glad to leave?
Well, we were over there for 2.5 years, and obviously wanted to get back home, see home, but in a way, sorry to leave the sunshine and the friendliness of the people there.
So you were in British Honduras from 47 to 50?
No, end of 49, I think it was.
Now, can you tell me how you came to go to Korea, please?
Well, come back from the West Indies, like I say. I went on a physical training instructor's course at Shorncliffe in Aldershot, and come back, joined the battalion, and as a physical training instructor. And it was about that time that we got news that we were moving to Korea. So everybody was quite excited about that. We had quite a few reservists who were recalled, come back to join the battalion. The national servicemen were sent to other units, except for the what they called the K-Force volunteers, which was national servicemen who volunteered to go to Korea, you know, with the officers.
Did the national servicemen have to go to Korea?
No, not initially. We had a few National Servicemen, but they were all volunteers, what they called K-Force volunteers. That was a National Servicemen who volunteered to stay in the battalion and come with us to Korea.
You say that people were excited when they got the news about going to Korea.
Well, I think the regular soldiers who hadn't seen any action were keen to go there. Some of the reservists who were recalled, who'd seen a bit before, obviously they weren't quite so keen. They'd been through it all before. Most of them had got married and started families. So obviously they weren't all that keen to go.
How did you get out there yourself?
On the troop ship. We went, there was a battalion on the troop ship. Took us about 6 weeks, I recall. Time on board was spent training, firing, training. My job as a physical training instructor was to get them as fit as possible for when we actually landed. And that's how the days went.
What exactly did they have to do to keep fit?
Well, physical training on the deck each day, do 3/4 hour of physical training.
Running around the deck?
Well, running around the deck was part of it, and strength and exercises, and mobility exercises, usual physical training program.
What strengthening exercises were these?
Well, using your own body weight and partners. You, like press ups, for instance, or carrying another person, or pushing and pulling against another person.
In what condition were the troops in by the time they got to Korea, do you think?
Well, they were quite fit, I think. Obviously, some of the reservists, they needed quite a bit of getting back up together. But they all managed it, I think. It was quite funny, really, with the reservists, because lots of them have been prisoners of war, some with Japan. I had one man in my section was actually captured by the Japanese, and he was in a POW camp in South Korea. The people we were there fighting for.
What was his attitude to going?
Oh, he obviously, he'd seen a bit of it. He didn't want to know it.
Were you given any background about the war in Korea before you went?
Oh yes, you had lectures on the boat going out, giving us the background of the war and how it started and what we were likely to face when we got there.
What did they say about the characteristics of the enemy?
Well, at the time, it was just the Koreans. The Chinese hadn't come in war at the time. And we were told they didn't take any prisoners, which they were quite a sadistic, cruel race, and hard fighters, and we more or less knew what to expect when we got there.
Did you go straight to Korea or via Japan?
No, I went straight to Korea.
Where did you land?
Kyori.
Isn't that Japan?
Oh, sorry.
Busan?
Busan, that's right.
What impression did Korea make on you when you first got there?
In Busan, when the troop ship pulled in, we had a colored band there welcoming us ashore, American colored band, playing all the razzmatazz. And after unloading the supplies, we were put on a train, cattle type train, and moved up into central southern Korea.
Into the front line?
No, not at the time, no. We went in a base there, and then we moved up to a place called Kaesong, where they'd had trouble with which is on the border between north and south, and we had a bit of trouble with guerrillas there, you know, fighting in for the North Koreans. Got a few run-ins with them there. Not the Gossers, the Argos, I think it was, who were there before us that had trouble with them.
So that didn't involve you personally, you mean?
Not personally, no. I know we went on a dance party up to Kaesong, and we were billeted in this school, and there were several, I think it was Argos, I'm not sure, had been killed the previous day, and they had them in one of the rooms there laid out. That was our first introduction to warfare.
And then what happened?
From then we moved up into the line. There's a place, can't think of the name of the place now. I know we had to pull out quick. Happy Valley they call it, but Gloucester's had to pull out quick. We had trouble there with the Koreans.
What kind of trouble was this?
Well, it was the Ulsters, which was one of the challenges went with us. We had a bird's eye view of them putting in a counter-attack. We were up on top of the hills, and we see the Ulsters putting in an attack down below.
The Ulsters?
The Royal Ulster Rifles.
What time have we reached now? About which month is this? Is it winter?
No, that was that must have been about it wasn't too cold then, so must have been November, late November. I don't know.
And then what happened to you?
We pulled back there to it's just prior to Christmas, I think. We pulled back. I know we had heavy snow. I remember that. Yeah, it's just a recall now, to be honest, I'll find.
Were you in trenches or a camp or what?
Dug in, you know, in the open. No, we spent all the time in the open there. The only time we were in billets, I think, was when we were at the school at Kaesong.
How much did you see of the enemy at this time?
Up to then, not a lot, not close combat, no.
Was there shelling and mortaring going on?
Mortar shelling and mortaring, yeah. We were lucky to get out of Happy Valley. We just managed to get out in the nick of time, I think, there. Before we were cut off.
What was morale like by now?
Well, morale was still very high, yeah.
And which company were you in by then?
I was in D Company.
Still as a corporal?
Still as a corporal. Section leader, yeah.
What do you remember happening next?
From then, we moved up. This was a February now. That was our first taste of action, which was a place called Hill 327. Apparently the Americans had been trying to take it for 2 weeks with no success, and the Gloucesters got handed the job of taking it.
Were you in the